1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
And I do all the voices of the characters on the show. But then we always get the caller. This Margaret was on yesterday, and I heard her say, and why doesn't Phil... Here's the thing that happens on this show. The first call you get is, why does he have those actors? Then the next call you get is, why does he work with that same guy? And when you finally say to people, no, it's Phil doing all the voices, that's when they lose, as we say out west, their mud. That that's when suddenly their world is rocked to new heights. You know, because it's like, whoa, wait a second, man. I mean, I know all these shows where, you know, they have the actors and the sidekicks and the thing. You tell me this cat is the whole show? Yeah, well, except for the callers that call in. Stuff Johnny Knoxville and Tom Green could do. We got some letters from people. Dear Phil, how about Tom Green drinking jet fuel? That would be interesting. Dear Phil, I'd like to see Johnny Knoxville drink his own urine, just to see if he can do that. Dear Phil, I would like to see Tom Green wipe his ass with poison ivy leaves. That would be interesting. Dear Phil, why couldn't Johnny Knoxville see if he could fly a small plane into Peru just to see if he could do it without being shot out of the sky? Dear Phil, I would like to see Tom Green withstand torture at the hands of the Mexican federal police. That would be interesting. And finally, dear Phil, why couldn't Johnny Knoxville bungee jump off a bridge with the cord attached to his penis? I wonder if he could do that. So there's some of the suggestions we have for Johnny Knoxville and Tom Green. Of course, you're free to send those in to Phil Hendry Show, wherever the hell we're located. It's your local station. Johnny Knoxville jumping off a bridge with a bungee cord attached to his thing. Just trying to help those guys out. And I know that they're very creative guys, but some of the stuff you'd like to see them do, you know. And like I said, after I saw that movie, I told you guys about the Naked Prey. Why don't they go into whatever is left of the cannibal enclaves in this world? And I know there's got to be societies that still practice cannibalism and have themselves cooked and eaten. That is a home run! Now, speaking of eating, I wanted to bring this up to you guys. When I was up north in Northern California, I was up at the great UC Davis, and they had this place called Murder Burger, which is really an awesome place. I had these ostrich burgers. Have you had these? I'm telling you, I'm going to invest in this. Now, ostrich meat made a small dent in the American meat market, if you will, sometime back in the 80s. You remember when there was people talking a little bit about that? Then it didn't go anywhere, and it kind of faded out. Well, now it's back. Now, when you go up to 101 here and get off on your way to Solvang, they got these ostrich farms on the way into Solvang. And by the way, for those of you who are battling a weight problem, let me do you a favor. Spend a weekend in Solvang. Just drive down the street, get out of the car, and walk down the street. If you've got a problem, you can really watch your weight and really watch those calories walking into a Danish bakery and shoving just pure cream into your face and having those large... See, we don't have to get those cream puffs. You know what that is? It's just whipped cream on a crumb. They can call it a cream puff. Well, it's a kind of a cake, sir. A cake. It's a cracker. And the rest is like 6 pounds of whipped cream. I'll never forget. That was the nadir for me, if you will. N-A-D-I-R means low point. And when I got back from Solvang, we took the kids up there. It was just prior, I think it was prior to Christmas, or it might have been just after Christmas. And we were there at the Danish freaking bakeries. And we were there with all of the stuffed eclairs, cream stuffed, jelly-filled, cake eclair, fat, you know, glazed cake pie. It's like it's a cross between pie cake. It was pake. It was Kai. It was, you know, and we shoved it in, and I came home, took one look in the mirror, and said, yeah, today's the day. Today's the day we're going to get on that bike, because that place is instant thrombosis. You know, I'm getting out of radio, though. Just to get back to original point. I'm getting out of radio. I'm going to become an ostrich roper. This is where it is. I had a couple of these ostrich burgers. Oh, man, it was, I'm telling you, Mike, it was fantastic. Delicious. And ostrich meat is low in fat. Turkey has got more fat in it than ostrich meat, and the ostrich meat tastes like ground beef. A little bit lighter taste than ground beef, but basically like ground beef. And I had two of these ostrich patties. I could have 16 ostrich patties, and it's worth like one McDonald's, a quarter pounder with cheese. That's probably how many points I had. It was fantastic. I had it with a jalapeno jack cheese. So I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with the project, but I told Maria, I don't know what we got to do with our money, man, because I don't want to put it into a freaking stock. This stock market is crap. Got to do something with the money that we got. She has got us she's investing us into a pension of some kind. And my thing is real estate. Am I crazy? Well, you guys are shaking your head saying I'm not crazy. Nobody's buying real estate anymore. Nobody is investing in dirt. That only goes up in price. There's no speculation as to whether or not the stock's going to be worth more next year. There's no worrying about your fund and whether it's paying off the way. You buy yourself some real estate, especially around here. And, of course, you'd have to sell yourself. You'd have to engage in male prostitution for a couple of years. But you'd be able to come up with a couple of dollars to buy yourself something around here. That's what I told her I wanted to do. No. She wants to get into ostrich roping. So I said, all right. These ostrich burgers at Murder Burger up in Davis, the low-fat alternative to chicken. And you go up there, man, they got everything up. They got Starbucks and they got Carl's Jr. and all that crap. I didn't want any of that stuff. I went in and got this freaking murder. This murder burger is too much. You got to go in there. They got a breakfast burrito. They got all kinds of crap in there. So if the next time you go into Solvang, you fat folks, and I'll see you there, look at the ostrich burgers. Just consider stopping off and having a low-fat burger before you go into Solvang and go ahead and pack the cream cheese into your left ventricle. Those small-town eateries, you're right, Mike, are where it's at. There used to be a place in Lompoc called High Let's Eat. That was the name of the restaurant in Lompoc, High Let's Eat. And you can't lay it out anymore? Like, you know, just anything. Let's get fat. The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show will be back, 1-800-449-8686. ...1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
It's now time on The Phil Hendry Show for Keep Phil From Hanging Up On You.
For nothing at all.
We've got a great prize for you today. It is the vinyl picture disc from The Phil Hendry Show. Our special vinyl picture disc containing the best of the Phil Hendry Show Year 2000 material. Now here's how we play Keep Phil From Hanging Up On You. You simply get on the air and begin with a story, begin with a joke, begin with any kind of a pitch, and keep me from being so utterly bored with you that I hang up. Make it interesting. I can give you guys a couple of tips. If you start out with a joke, I'm probably going to hang up. Say things like, hey, Phil, here's a joke, whatever. But if you can make yourself truly compelling, if you can make yourself truly dramatically compelling, I think the instinct, of course, for a lot of people is to get on the air and do shtick. Save yourself the trouble. Save yourself the agony and the pain.
Hold to my cheek.
Talk show callers are never funny. But many times, they're interesting. And when you start out with, I'm going to hang up. If you start out with any of that crap, I'm hanging up. This is called Keep Phil From Hanging Up On You. I want to hear some stuff from you guys that'll keep us on the line here. And I'll tell you this right now. If you can keep me from hanging up on you for 30 seconds, we'll give you a picture disc. Do you think 30 seconds is long enough, or should I make it a little bit longer? 30 seconds is probably pretty sweet. Who's running the clock here, me? Okay, Craig's got the clock. And so our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Keep Phil from hanging up on you. You know, I used to have a TikTok sound effect, too. Do we have that? Get that, Craig. And in the meantime, while we... okay, what do I got? A guy already here? LT? Have you got the TikTok deal? All right, he's looking for it. In the meantime, I will tell you I'm down to as long as we're talking about fat, 236 and a half pounds, and feeling good and looking good. That's what people tell me anyway. But, man, I've got to get the pants. Got to get the pants taken in. Okay, here is LT. LT, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil, it's Lance from Monterey. I got a little story to tell you about when I was cruising up through San Mateo. We had two Firestone blowouts in one day. And then I came back to get some Fix-It-Flat for the second one because we already used the spare. Well, when I put the quarter in the machine at the gas station, the red light came on when I dropped the quarter in, and the entire thing exploded into my legs. My shins were completely traumatized, and I don't know. How much gnarlier does it need to get?
Pretty cool. You win.
Okay.
You win. That was awesome. The dudes. Okay, wait a minute. LT?
Scene.
Wait a minute, man. You're still talking? I had you on hold for 5 seconds.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so what were you saying?
As if that wasn't enough, this was across the street, the gas station across the street from the San Mateo Police Department.
Yeah?
And they're, the cops are the first two on the scene, the head of the Policeman's Officers Association. Now, there was four Asian guys.
All right, okay. This cat wins. I just dug it. I don't know why. I just hung with it, and it paid off. The air machine blew up into his legs and traumatized his shins? That was beautiful. So get that guy on line one. He gets a Phil Hendry Show picture disc. And see if we can't get some women calling in on this thing. You know, I know it's tough. I realize we do a man's show. Yada, yada, yada. Every now and again, hearing a female voice is not going to exactly kill anybody. Okay, Matt?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'll tell you how. We were on a road trip from Tallahassee to Jacksonville.
Okay, this guy's out of here, man. You're telling me some road trips. You cats are starting to repeat material you heard the guy say before you. Okay, let's go to Eric. Eric, hi.
Hey, I actually almost died because of you once. My brother and I listened to a tape of your show. We were on our way to my...
You're very nice, but I've heard those stories before, and they're good. They're really good. We're looking for something a little bit different. Okay, so we're still... okay, so that's the three calls that we had that were good enough. Do another line one. Do another one. Okay, well, I've done as many as I can do, Mike. All right, so there you have it. That's keep Phil from hanging up on you. We got another picture disc we'll give away, so go ahead and screen a few more calls, Mike, at 1-800-449-8686. The first guy was, I don't know, he just grabbed my attention with this road trip thing and about the air machine blowing up. Two blowouts, and then the air machine, did he say blew up at the gas station? The other dude with the road trip is not going to work. And well, I'm not putting down anybody's call. It's very good efforts on the parts of everybody. But this is, as you know, something we call keep Phil from hanging up on. Wait a minute. That's the one that I wanted. Let me go over here to, you ready with that TikTok deal? Bob in El Paso. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I used to work at a funeral home, and one time we had to go pick up a body of a man who had shot his head off in a chicken coop. And anyway, the other guy I used to work with started throwing up, and when we took a look, the chickens were eating little tiny pieces of brain.
Okay, thanks a lot. All right, we'll take your calls here at 1-800-449-8686. Whole cool thing about the funeral parlor gets lost with the chicken eating a brain, okay? I don't know what it is, and I know that a lot of people, I've had people listening to, for instance, the thing that we do, True Talent or A Full Pant Load. It's just the kind of a vibe you have to understand about what's going to be cool and what isn't. Now, here is Jane in Hollywood. Go ahead, Jane.
Yeah, so my dad's a bigger crank than you are, and you were telling me some story about some talk show host a few weeks ago. My dad was watching this talk show host in Texas. Her name was Shirley. And she kept rocking back and forth. So he wrote her a letter and said, "You got to stop rocking back and forth. You're making me seasick." So she calls him on the phone and says, "What are you talking about?"
Okay, thanks a lot. Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're in Oklahoma City. Go ahead.
Yes. I actually had an idea for a dream last night. It came up when I was in the middle of a dream. I'm sure you're familiar with The Weakest Link on NBC.
Yes.
I was contemplating what would actually be a very good show during the sweeps week would be to have all of the officers from the Navy sub on The Weakest Link, and if you were to fill the audience with all of the victims' families in the audience, I think that would make a tremendous show and may actually entertain people, and perhaps you could double the ratings that the XFL would have.
Okay, you win. Hey, Robert. You got a picture disc. What are you talking about, though, man? For some reason, I was digging it, but I didn't know what the hell you're talking about.
Okay, The Weakest Link.
I know I know the show, but does she ask questions? Is the audience involved in that show?
No, but it would be amusing because they would get out of hand, and it would be like a Jerry Springer episode.
Because the sub-commander, all these cats, I don't know. My hat's off to you. I listened to every bit. I loved it.
Okay.
But I'd have no idea what you were talking about. That's the beauty of what you just did.
Okay, The Weakest Link put all of the, you know, officers on there.
And they're being asked questions by Ann Robinson.
Yes, and then, you know, that way they could vote off the commander of the sub, and then they could just implicate everyone. And it would break out just like a Jerry Springer fight,
cool.
I think.
All right, brother. Okay, hold on. Yeah, okay. You win. You win, man. You win a picture disc. You got it. Get that Robert kid there on line two, Mike, okay? That was pretty I got a hand to the guy. I had no idea what the dude was talking about. But the concept of the sub-dudes on Weakest Link was, like, far out. Okay, ready with the old thingy? Jeff, go ahead. Jeff.
Hey, Phil. My friend Matt, he went swimming in the Lake Michigan and was corroded with bacteria, and then he ate a lot of fruit. He gets on the plane and starts feeling a little queasy, and his stomach starts grumbling, so he drinks coffee thinking this will make it better. And when he gets off the plane, he heads to 7-Eleven to get some medicine for his stomach and starts crapping all down his pants.
Get out of here. He just missed it. It was great until the guy crapped in his pants. Okay, ready? Eric, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, I'm engaging myself against your diet, and I'm beating you. Started out at 275 about a...
Congratulations. Okay, ready? Let's go to Al. Hi, Al.
Hey, Phil, what's up?
How are you?
Hey, I got a good one for you. One night down here in DeSoto, Missouri, I went up to the bar with my ex-girlfriend's ex-husband.
Uh-huh.
We went out there with full intentions of getting drunk. We get up there, I said, hey, I'll be back in a minute. I got to go outside and get the keys because we got to walk back to town. Either way, as soon as I go out to the vehicle, I heard a noise, turn around, and several people attack me, try to kill me. My truck is even still damaged, you know. Next thing you know, as soon as I got away from them, hit the highway, and this is for real. As soon as I hit the highway, I'm for real.
I know,
man. As
soon
as I hit the highway, man, I got pulled over by a cop. The cop took me down to the police station long enough to fingerprint me, gave me a DWI, and refused to go back and find the people that tried to kill me.
Well, the best part of your story, you win, Al, the best part of your story was before the cops pulled you over. Just the idea that you were walking down a road. Any story that has walking down a road in it, went to the bar with who, your father-in-law?
No, I went down with my ex-girlfriend's ex-husband.
With your ex-girlfriend's ex-husband to get drunk at a bar in DeSoto, Missouri. That's beautiful. That's gorgeous. All right, hold on, Al. You win, man. He doesn't know why he won, but he won. He doesn't understand my fascination with him. He wanted to, like, lay some thing out to me about how bad it was the cops didn't defend him against getting his ass kicked. I don't care. I just dug the whole idea that you were walking down a road to a bar. See, that's what I'm talking about. All right, I don't know if we have it. Yes, we do have enough time. I'm going to go to the person who's been hanging on the longest, and that would be Rich over here. Go ahead, Rich.
Good afternoon, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, went to my brother's class reunion, and he's tall.
By class reunion blows. Here is Kirk. Go ahead. Hi, Kirk.
Hey.
Go ahead, buddy.
Yeah, Phil, I was went to a UCLA frat party on LSD one evening.
I've done that. Here is Mike in Green Bay. Mike, go ahead.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
How you doing, brother?
Good. Yeah, one day me and my buddy were walking down the
down a road, and then you got drunk at a bar. Okay. Well, there you go. I guess we got one more. No, Alan DeSoto is still hanging on. So we gave away three picture discs. Beautiful. And we do have some what are the ones we're giving away, Mike? The vinyl? Well, it's part of the Phil Henry vinyl picture disc that we have for our year 2000, best of the year 2000 Phil Henry Show CD picture disc thing. And so that's very, very cool. That was awesome. I dug the... It's interesting for me to see what interests me. The fact that a guy walking down a road is interesting, but crap it in your pants, forget it. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
I want to tell you a story of myself when I was much, much younger. I was standing, and I actually have memory of this. I have memory of this occurrence. I was standing, and I'll even tell you where it was. It was in Arcadia, in our little house on 7th Avenue in Arcadia. And I was standing, holding on to the railing of a crib. Okay, so it's a few years ago. I'm standing, holding on to the crib railing. Now, I was put down for my nap, because I know it was the afternoon, and it was the weekend, because my dad was home. And I'm holding on to the railing of the crib. And the thought comes to my mind, as the thought comes to the minds of people who are that age, I have to go to the bathroom. I've got to go number two. At that point in my life, I knew enough. I knew this. I knew that I could call for my father and say, hey, Daddy, I got to go number two. Take me to the toilet, right? But I didn't do that. I don't know why I didn't do it. I was lazy or something. I decided, you know what? I've been doing it into a diaper for so long. At that point in my life, I don't even think I was wearing diapers anymore. I think I was wearing underwear. So in other words, they'd taken the diapers off of me, and I had on underwear. I think they were Calvin Klein or something. I don't know what they were. And anyway, so I said, well, screw it. So I just crapped right into the underwear. And then I remember my father walking in, and I don't know whether I called him, and at that point said, Dad, I crapped in my, underwear. But he walked in, and I'll never forget his words. He looked in the underwear, and he said, I thought you were a big boy. And it did kind of sting a little bit, even though I was, young. The fact that he'd say that to me kind of stung a little bit, even though I was, at that point, I think I just turned 24. But that he would say that just bummed me out. But I got another one. These are the things that I did as a kid that I regret, and I've told myself this, and you guys should do this. I've told myself, you have to not be afraid to look foolish and stupid in life. You have to have the courage to look foolish and to look stupid. If you just take yourself to that foolish, stupid-looking place, then you'll never really have a hard time dealing with some of life's humiliations, because it's just, I'm kind of a stupid-looking guy. Just say that to yourself. I'm just a goofy, stupid person, and sometimes goofy, stupid stuff happens to me. Then you'll never be embarrassed by things. Like the time that I was delivering papers for my hometown newspaper, I won't say which one, but it was fun working for the Arcadia Tribune, and I was doing a twice-a-week paper route. And the guy, you dump the papers at the end of the driveway, you go down there, you'd roll them up, you put the rubber band on it, you put it in your bag, and you'd put the bag over your shoulder. I don't know how many kids do paper routes anymore. Craig used to do a paper route. Kids don't do, there's no paper routes left. It's all done by, like, dudes in cars. They're competing with any kid that thinks he's going to get himself a paper route with a bicycle. There's a guy in a Chevy, You're not taking that route. That's mine. So I would fold the newspapers, put them in my little bag. And I remember a couple of mornings doing that paper route on a flat tire bike because something happened to my bike, had flat tires. But I would dutifully, deliver the papers. And then one morning I got up, I was really tired. I went down to the end of the driveway. I picked the entire stack of newspapers up. I walked around to the side of our house, threw them into the garbage, and went back to bed. What was I thinking? What exactly was I thinking? I was 12 years old. I guess I just hadn't reached a point in my life where anything really meant. You just throw crap away if you didn't want to do it. At 12, I'm thinking this. I threw the stuff in the garbage. I got home from school that afternoon. My mom's there, and the guy, she says, the man from the Arcadia Tribune was here. I said, what did he say? We are fired. I'm fired? She says, yes. They went around. They couldn't figure out why nobody had gotten their newspaper today, and they went around to the side of the house, and they looked in the garbage can, and they found the newspapers there. And for some reason, that shocked me. I was surprised. Really? Yes, you idiot. You threw it in the garbage. That's how I lost my first job. I was fired from it because I threw the newspapers into the garbage. Tell me this guy wasn't on his way to a career in radio. And I say that half-jokingly. You got to get your butt out of bed pretty early on this gig, man. Like my wife Maria did. By the way, did anybody hear my wife Maria Sanchez this morning on Cruise 103.3 out of Santa Barbara? She was brilliant. But those were a couple of things. So, you know, in life, you're bound to do stuff. Always say to yourself, I look like an idiot. It's going to be fine. I look like a complete and utter jackball. The guy's standing there saying, you're fired, Phil. Why? You threw the papers in the garbage. What do you mean, why? Or you crapped in your pants and you're 24? Well, you know. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Dear Phil, we'd love to see Tom Green squat over a missile silo during a DEFCON 1 alert. Can you make that happen? Dear Phil, we'd like to see Johnny Knoxville play water volleyball in the Amazon naked, preferably in one of those sloughs or eddies where there are piranha or alligators. And finally, somebody said, well, simply, we would just like to see if Tom Green, because we were very moved by the surgery for cancer, we'd like to see if Tom Green can contract leprosy. So that's tremendous. And you keep those cards and letters coming in. That's my favorite there. I'd like to see, Tom, if you're listening, for your stunt, because I think you could really one-up Johnny Knoxville on this one. Why don't you just go out and get yourself a case of leprosy? And as the body parts drop off, well, that's a week there. The hand, the nose goes. That's week two. Be a great thing. Okay, speaking of paper routes, I'm not all done with a paper route story because a friend of mine, and this was years later, had a paper route for the L.A. Times. This is a great story. I love to tell this because the L.A. Times is so truly meaningless now as an entity. But in those days, people used to read it, and actually remember what they read, I should say, because people are still reading it, but they put the paper down and they go, what the hell did I just read? In those days, people would read it and retain the information. So this guy had a L.A. Times paper route. Now, here's what we would do. During the week, I don't know what he did. Friday night, you go out to, the Handlebar Saloon or some joint that we would hang out in Pasadena, get completely blind on I don't know how many pitchers of beer, go back to this guy's house, shoot pool till about 2 a.m., continuing with the Mickey Widemouth. In those days, it was probably Old Milwaukee, who knows what. Then we're waiting for the newspapers to be delivered from the L.A. Times to the foot of this guy's driveway. Continuing on now with more beer, we begin helping him fold these newspapers until finally, almost blind on Southern comfort, we get into his car, and we proceed to go on the paper route with him, all the while swigging liberally from a hip flask containing Dewar's Scotch. And this was fun, and we would do this every weekend. Every weekend, shoot pool, drink till, say 5, 6 a.m., and all the while help this guy with his paper route. Who knows if we got the paper in the right place? He'd go, that one over there. Okay, man. We're landing the things. One time, and this is a beautiful story, there's a funeral parlor on Duarte Road in Arcadia. I can't remember the name of this thing, but I don't know what possessed me. I took this L.A. Times, and I threw it, and it landed on the roof of this guy's funeral parlor. So my friend is, well, we can't have that, can we? No, we can't, man. Better go get it. So I get out of the car. I climb a rain gutter up the side of this freaking funeral parlor to get this guy's L.A. Times. And it was creeping me out, too, because he's like, there's stiff down in there someplace. So that's what I did, and I put the guy's paper. But we would drive around like this, and, you don't know whether you get it right in the right guy's house. People got two papers instead of one. Guy gets three. The guy next door gets none. Still like 2 days running. On weekends, that thing was completely butchered. And when you get the LA, when you get the Sunday paper for any big city newspaper, it's a fairly substantial investment. And what happens is they dump off the front page and all the stuff that it contains. And then they have all the supplements, all the advertising supplements that you, as the paper deliverer, have to put in. And so, yeah, who knows, man? I mean, we're sitting there, we're flying, we're fueled on all kinds of rocket fuel. We're sticking the wrong supplements into this. Some guy gets two sports pages. Another guy gets no front page, just the calendar section or whatever, folding these things up. And they didn't have rubber bands because the Times is so fat, you had to tie it with a string. And one time, I'll never forget, I thought I had this thing tied up perfectly. I went to throw it out the window. The whole thing came apart like a flutter of birds. Just, I got to throw this newspaper out the window. Newspaper flying everywhere. Up in the air. It's wet in the gutter. And they only give you just so many papers because you don't have enough. So you just keep driving. Guy comes up to get his paper. It's like all over the street. And if he calls up and he complains, you go say, well, you know, a coyote must have gotten it, sir, or a dog or something. Oh, yeah, it happens. Yeah, we're really sorry. Probably a dog was reading it. Yeah, maybe a stray dog came by, was looking for the classified and just ripped the whole paper apart. So, you know, it's just a goofy, weird trip, man, delivering those newspapers. And like I said, this is all on the weekends. During the week, I don't know what this guy did. But me, you know, we get this paper at home. And for the longest time, it was like, can you guys maybe deliver me a dry newspaper? It would be great. What's wrong, sir? Well, what's wrong is this. You dudes keep dropping. You know, I'm calling you like five mornings in a row. I go out there, I got the papers wet. What's wrong is you're throwing it directly into a sprinkler. Now, I know my sprinklers are fine about 5 o'clock in the morning, and you guys go driving by there. Oh, okay, we'll try and get it. Yeah, that'd be nice. Get out there the next day. Like, you know, I don't care. Tell you what, why don't you just throw it on the driveway or some crap where there is no sprinkler? Well, that would mean we'd have to drive 50 more feet down the road? Well, I'm sorry. Like I said, it doesn't matter to me. It's my wife who knows how to read in the family, okay? But those were the days, man. And that was the LA Times, and that's how it got delivered to a fairly significant portion of the city of Arcadia by about four guys who, not hours before, were throwing pastrami sandwiches around in some Italian restaurant up in Pasadena, and now we come back down there. Yeah, you got any more cool Coors Tall boys? Yeah. Put the newspaper together. Okay, so if you want to get a copy of that Best of the Phil Henry Show CD, all you got to do is give us a call at 877-616-PHIL, 877-616-7445. And I do want to say that my wife Maria was on the air this morning over on Cruise 103.3. Not that I'm trying to, you know, say anything and plug anybody's station, but she was getting all these calls this morning from people saying, oh, I heard you on the radio. I didn't know that station had as many listeners as it does. It's got a lot of them up there out of Santa Barbara, so that was really cool. So she's looking to get back into the business now. That means I'm going to be taking the kids to school every single morning. Thank you. She's looking to get back into this thing. And if she nails this morning drive gig, which I don't know, you know, they're still making up their mind and everything, that means that it's Henry who crawls out of bed, claws his way out from underneath the sheets, and takes the kids to school every morning. It'll be Henry who will be assuming more of the job. Henry who will become more of the Mr. Mom. Henry who will do whatever the hell else I got to do. Three words, carpool. Thanks, Mike. I needed that. Three words, carpool.
You're very pathetic.
Okay. Why? Because I want a reward for saving the guy's life?
You're getting exposure on national radio, okay, for your stupid little band. Well, you know what? I'm not going to call your band stupid. For your band, I mean, you're plugging your band, and you want a reward for saving a man's life
yeah.
so that you can finish your demo?
Yeah, I'd like to have the reward. I saved a man's life.
Okay.
Do you know that his injuries were life-threatening?
But that's your civic duty.
He looked messed up.
If you see another citizen in need, you're supposed to help them out. Okay, so you're saying that if that every single person out there that calls 911 for somebody else should get a reward.
Well, Christine, all I'm saying is
if I had reward money, I could finish up the demo. It's going to be so good. You got to check this out. We're doing a cover of Temptations' Ball of Confusion. If I could, Mr. Henry.
Oh, no. Look, it's you're playing the drum.
I just want to try this one. Listen to this.
One, two, three.
Ball of Confusion. People up
you
in
the. You know
there.
What? Mr. Henry.
I don't know the words.
I think he's been on air long enough because.
Yeah.
He's really trifling right
what?
Now.
What? No, we're doing Ball of Confusion.
Okay, good for you.
Oh, I don't get no love for that?
What love do
frankly,
you want?
Frankly, I really don't care about your band. Is all it? I wanted to tell you was you're being really pathetic.
You don't care about, how about this?
That's your personal business. I frankly don't care.
What?
I frankly don't care.
What?
You're just being very pathetic.
Okay, Christine, but the next time somebody saves your life and then they ask you for a little bit of money, remember that they saved your life and that they're asking you for just a little bit of money.
Okay, but the question
yeah,
I have
okay,
question
man,
you,
we'll
so
remember.
Who are you asking for the money?
Did
the
you just hear that?
The person whose life you saved?
What?
What did you say?
What?
I said, who are you asking for the money? The person whose life you saved? Or
who?
Or
who
do you want the money from?
I don't know what you're, who, from who?
Who do you want the money from? The person whose life you saved?
Who are you talking about?
I'm talking about the person whose life you saved. You're asking them to give you a reward?
When? What?
Never mind.
No.
Hey.
Who?
No.
No, what you just said. What?
I'm asking you, are you asking the people of the person whose life you saved?
He
you
doesn't
want him to
no,
give
he,
you money?
He doesn't want money.
Well, look.
What are you talking
just,
about?
It's common courtesy. It's common courtesy. If you see someone in need on the street, you call 911.
Who?
You don't need a reward for that. You're getting reward enough already being on this this station.
But who are you talking about?
I'm talking about you.
What?
Don't you hear what she's saying?
What? She said...
She's saying the money that you're not going to get it.
I didn't get no money, man.
I know that.
I don't know. Either both of you people are high or, you know...
Speedy, I'm not high.
You're not...
You have issues. You really do. I think
what?
You're getting enough reward by being on national TV and plugging your band every 2 seconds.
What are you talking about?
Okay, you're...
Yeah,
you know
all right.
What?
You know what? You're an idiot.
What?
You're an idiot.
I don't know what you mean.
You're an idiot.
What?
Are you ready for this guy? You, Jeff.
Yeah?
You are an idiot.
What?
Are you what? Not comprehending what he's saying?
Well, who? Who is he talking about?
You, man! You're a moron!
In what way?
Yeah. Okay.
What?
I can't stay on the phone with this man any longer because I'm going to lose my mind.
What'd you say?
Excuse me?
What did you say?
What did I say?
Yes.
I can't stay on the phone with you any much longer. That is what I said.
About what?
I didn't stutter.
What were you saying it about?
Excuse me?
What?
Okay, that's it. I can't stand it anymore.
Well, wait a minute. You just...
I hung up on him.
All right.
I didn't mean to be rude, but I hung up on him.
Okay, thank you for...
What?
Phil Henry.